Now we come here to a set of proverbs that are together that, to me, at first seem totally unrelated. But there is apparently a relationship here that is based on certain words that speak of goodness and that which is right. I would say moral principles that are stated. Now let me read this whole section here and keep that in mind, and I'll emphasize the word as we go through, and it's in practically every one of the Proverbs, by the way. Verse 6, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. That is, here the word is goodness. And then verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. That's your word. His children are blessed after him. Verse 8, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. He scatters evil, you see. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? The word pure again, you see, that occurs here along with goodness. And then notice, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to Jehovah, that is, that which is false. And then, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And then, verse 12, the hearing ear and seeing eye, Jehovah hath made both of them. And the thought here is, use your head. God's given you eyes, he's given you ears. Listen and look. Look and listen. And that's not only good before you cross a railroad track, but that's good when you're facing life every day. Now, all through this are these moral principles emphasized, and there are two great thoughts here as I see them. First of all, we need to say this. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? Well, can you? I'm sure that you cannot. No man by his own efforts, no man can at all claim to be pure. Who would dare to make that kind of claim? Even that little babe in the crib that gets red in the face, that's revealing a temper there. I thought my little grandson at first, he just seemed to be free of sin. He was so wonderful, but I found out, my, he'd get red in the face, hold his breath even. And I thought, you know, that he was not subject to the total depravity of man. But I told my wife, I said, you know, he's beginning to show some of the characteristics of his grandmother. And I'm of the opinion that no one can except one way. If you would be heaven bound, you must first be heaven born. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus said that to a religious man. We'd call him a good man. Now, no man can answer that question until he's come to Christ and said, I'm clothed now in the righteousness of Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. But I still have that old heart that I had before, and I have that old nature. But now, will you notice this? That goodness does count, and integrity does count before the throne of God, and purity is worth something, and a child of God is going to walk in a way in which he commands the gospel of the grace of God. Here's a good question. I've heard it for many years. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Suppose you were brought up before a court in Russia today. They said, this fellow's a Christian. Would there be enough evidence there to convict you? Or would you be able to get off free and say, look at my life. Well, I didn't live like a Christian. I didn't walk in integrity. There was no goodness in my life, no desire for purity. And God says now, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God gave you that. God has given you a certain amount of gumption, friends, a certain amount of common sense. And God says, open your eyes. God says, unstop your ears. God says, stop, look, and listen. I got news for you. You can't make yourself pure, but I can give you that standing before God. I can remove the guilt of your sin and then enable you to walk in integrity in this world. This is a fine set of Proverbs, by the way.